Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We slide into this Thursday afternoon, just Scraby and I. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Obviously, big news in Padre land today. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't been on social media or really much today.
Oh, I have.
For different reasons. And I don't know what the sentiment of this is, of this news, that it sounds like the Seidlers are going to explore their options, including possibly selling the San Diego Padres. Scraby, you said you have been on social media today.
Yes.
What do you say?
I say the sentiment among people is surprise, but there's about, I would say, one out of every five people is optimistic about it, thinking this might be a good thing for the franchise.
One out of every, how many?
One out of every five.
Five.
I think I've seen a lot of people feel a little slighted that they paid for their season tickets and then this news came out afterwards. Some said that they wouldn't have paid for their season tickets. I would like to see that happen. Like, actually see them not pay for their tickets, because I believe they would anyway. But there's just a lot of worry right now about the future of the team.
Yeah. In a letter that was sent out, I don't know if it was a memo or whatnot, but
there was an email to season ticket holders that put in there.
Yeah, it says, I want to share with you that the family has decided to begin a process of evaluating our future with the Padres, including a potential sale of the franchise. We will undertake this process with integrity and professionalism in a way that honors Peter's legacy and love for the Padres and lays the foundation for the franchise long-term success. During the process and as we prepare for the 2026 season, the Padres will continue to focus on putting every resource into winning a World Series championship. We remain fully committed to you, this team, and the San Diego community. It goes on, but you get the gist of kind of what's happening. And I think we have, from the moment that this situation went into litigation, I've always felt like this was going to be the end outcome. Unless one or two sides decided, you know, came to an agreement of some sort, as long as it was in litigation, it seems like this is where it was headed. And it's not official, but it certainly sounds like that is indeed where we are headed. And I think, listen, having been here my whole life, I understand the worry that people have, because, you know, until recently, new ownership hasn't gone great. And so I understand people's trepidation on what it's going to look like. But at least from my perspective, I don't think the Seidler family has ever misled us in any way. And so if John says that he's going to make sure he ends up in the right hands, we have no choice but to trust. I mean, you can go down the rabbit hole of man, it's going to be the next cheapest owner. We're going to end up like such and such team. You know, that's your prerogative for sure.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit
hole.
But
I think this is kind of where we were headed once it got into that kind of litigation period.
Yeah, I do understand that. And we hadn't heard anything in a while. and we still haven't heard anything about the litigation. I've seen some people speculating that maybe this has been like settled or something, and that's why this is now coming out. But that's news that we just don't have the real story behind.
No, not at all. And so if we hold that letter at its word, that also means that everything is as business as usual. Free agency, the signings, keeping the levels up to where they have been is important if the team is going to continue to compete while this is happening.
I believe that they're going to try and compete because they want to maximize the value of the organization.
It certainly wouldn't hurt things to win a World Series while you're trying to.
Yeah. I mean, in that case, do you just keep it? Like, I mean, you win a World Series, do you keep your shares?
We've certainly seen owners change their minds in the past. It wouldn't be the first time.
The first thing I think about, and the Padres have not done this. I'm not saying the Padres have done this or will do it, but the first thing I thought about was the recent sale or potential sale of the Twins. They were exploring sales. They traded away a bunch of their players, and then it fell through, and they kept the team anyway. And so now the Twins fans are like, well, great. We're stuck with the same people that didn't want to put money into the team. Not saying that's going to happen with the Padres, but, Tony, I'm not going to lie. This worries me.
I mean, that's not a surprise. You worry about pretty much everything.
Yeah. Yes, this is true.
I don't know. I don't know. None of us know where this is going to end up.
No.
Where it's going to head. And so at this point, you just got to kind of take the word of what the Seidlers are saying, or what John is saying in this letter, and kind of keep your fingers crossed that that's how it kind of unfolds. I don't think any of us know, but like I said, hasn't been a time that I can recall that ownership has been dishonest when it comes to how they were going to approach the roster and keep it where it is, so that this team could be competitive.
You know, they were under a cap last year, but they still spent money. They still fielded a very expensive team. I don't think that's going to change. What I do think is a new ownership group can see the potential for San Diego. They could see that this city rallies around the Padres. They could see that this team can be a moneymaker.
It's been in sellout status pretty often over the last couple of years. So, I mean, it certainly seems like this is as hot of a product as the city has ever had in terms of putting it up for sale at that time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's been an ownership that could come to the table with a team, at least here in San Diego, at any of the Padres' history, and feel pretty good about what they could get based on what the product has been here and how the fans have pretty much filled that bad boy up every night here at home.
Yeah, the fans, I mean, you got to give the team credit too, because they have put money into the park, they put money into the team, they put money into a lot of things, and they have grown this team into a $2.5 billion valuation, which is massive.
It's crazy,
and that's what I think excites me most, is that there could be someone out there that's looking at this and can come in and have maybe a little bit of deeper pockets, get that one extra free agent, and compete. Because right. My biggest fear is that someone comes in and they gut the team. That's my biggest fear, which I think is irrational.
It's reasonable. It's reasonable for those who have been here for a long period of time, because that is how it has gone at times.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, like I said, at the very beginning of this, I feel where the worry is coming from. I understand that worry. I just have the thought that, you know, times are changing here in San Diego, and, you know, it's about time it goes from one good owner to another good owner, if that is indeed what ends up being happening.
We are conditioned, as you just said. We are conditioned.
We have been spoiled for this last
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
Been pretty elite in terms of the fan experience, and you know, hadn't been the big one yet, but got to experience some things.
There's also one other sentiment I'm seeing from some people out there, and it's that they're going to move the team. I don't believe that one bit.
I don't either.
I can't even begin to let my mind go there, just because they have a lease with Petco Park until 2033. They make so much money off of extra stuff at Petco Park. This city shows up. There's no way they move.
I personally think that's an irrational thought.
Me too.
I don't think worrying about it falling into a bad owner's hands is not... I don't think that's an irrational thought. I do think the team having to move because of new ownership is an irrational thought.
That won't happen.
No.
The money is here.
I don't think Major League Baseball would want that to happen. You know,
that would be a bad...
They're already trying to realign, like, having a team move someplace else would, I think, kind of throw cold water on it or make it just more complicated than it needs to be. So I think that one is out of bounds. But nonetheless, it is the kind of big news. We got a short show today. Patriots and...
Oh, those mighty Jets.
The mighty, mighty Jets.
J-E-T-S.
4:30 after the show. Get a chance to talk a little bit about that. We got Chris Ello will join us. 2:40. He was possibly going to join us in the overtime, but we haven't figured that whole part out yet. By the way, will be posted at some point after the show once we get done with it. But yeah, that's the kind of the big one today. Padres possibly up for sale. We'll see how this thing all kind of shakes out. We got a big five. Early today, 3:40, for those who are fans of the Big Five. Gwen and Chris Pickham to end the show. We also got Gwen versus the fans as well in the 4 o'clock today. Hour. Yes, no more made-up games in the middle of the show today.
I appreciate people saying that my heart was in the right place, but the execution was poor.
It was quite poor. All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
216, 217 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Short show here this Thursday afternoon. Jets, Patriots, kicking it off at 4:30.
Kicking them off.
You get a little Thursday night football. Not the best of games. You know what? Let's go ahead and play that little bite today. I think if my partner Chris Ello was here, he would really enjoy this take here.
We're talking about the one we just talked about?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Take. It has to do with this Patriot team, I believe.
Yeah.
Say this, y'all. The answer to this question is Vrabel. And I'm going to tell you why it's Vrabel. With all of the superlatives you threw out about Drake May and his play this year, he don't play defense, all right? That defense does. We talked about, you brought up, I think, Dan, how efficient they were. Fifth best on third downs defensively as well. Special teams. Culture. When you got back-to-back 4-13 seasons, what it was before that, I mean, Bill Belichick and then Gerard Mayo. I mean, for Vrabel to come in and for this instant change to kick in, I think that's why you have to go with that answer. That's not taking anything away from Drake May, who's an MVP candidate who looks absolutely great. Very impressive. And to be the dude that's there now with them talking about you the way they're talking about you in a place that Tom Brady delivered 6 championships to, that just says an awful lot about him. But we also know that no matter how good you can be as a quarterback, if the culture ain't right, if the defense ain't right, if things are not correct, everything can plummet. And that is not what happened with Mike Vrabel. He's got to get the credit right now. And I personally think he's going to win Coach of the Year.
Thanks, Stephen.
Scraby, you've been pretty hard on Mike Vrabel. I think you've said that he actually isn't that good of a coach. He's overrated. I think Stephen A. thinks differently than you on this. I think a lot of people think Mr. Vrabel was on pace to be the coach of the year.
Yeah, I see through the fake lies that are being told
fake
about
lies.
The Patriots. They're playing no one.
Oh,
they have
we're
the
still
easiest
that.
Schedule in football. They get to play the Jets twice. They get to play the Dolphins twice.
So the Patriots haven't beat anybody this year.
They beat a Buffalo Bills team that no one's really sold on.
They beat a Buffalo Bills team.
The
yes,
Bills
they did.
Just lost 30-13 to the Dolphins. I know I'm out on a limb on this one, Tony. I do know that, but
you definitely are out.
If
on
the
a
Patriots
limb.
Go to the playoffs and they're one and done, that is a Mike Vrabel special. That's what he does.
The Patriots were garbage last year.
Yes, they were. They were garbage. They had a rookie, Drake May. It's also nice when you join a team that has a seemingly generational quarterback.
By the way, they beat Buffalo at Buffalo.
And again,
they went into Tampa at Tampa and beat them too.
I'll give them that one. That one's
a
good one.
You're going to give them that one.
Because the Bucks are good. Baker Mayfield is good. But they play the Falcons. They've played all the bad teams in the
NFL.
They
have played some bad teams. Falcons, Browns, Titans, Saints, Panthers.
Like, that's what I'm saying,
Dolphins,
Tony.
Dolphins. And they got losses to the Raiders and Steelers.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's still a good job, though. I think you're going to have to start putting some respect on Mike Vrabel's name, though.
I will win. He wins a Super Bowl.
Oh, he's got to win. He got to win a Super Bowl, not just get it.
All right, he has to go. He has to make it deep in the playoffs.
Fair enough. Let's switch gears. Go back to baseball. Paul Skeens. I told you yesterday, man. That was some real sucker stuff that his supposed teammate, tried to start some noise about him wanting to go to the Yankees. He had to come out. He felt the need to come out today. And deny that. He basically said the goal has always been to win and win in Pittsburgh. And he said he saw the report, but didn't give it too much thought.
I don't know why this was released to begin with. I think it was just something to make news on the day he was up for Cy Young. I mean, that's kind of weird, but I believe Paul Skeens. I don't think Paul Skeens is trying to get out of there just yet.
Yeah, and I mean,
he doesn't have a choice.
He doesn't have a choice. He's locked in through the rest of this decade. Like, I mean, he's going to be there until 30.
Yeah, he's
not
going
he's
to be
30,
there.
But 2030. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, 2030. Like,
he's under team control, so they don't have to do anything. And Ben Sherrington, the GM of the Pittsburgh Pirates, virtually said the same thing. He gets calls on him fairly frequently, and the answers pretty consistent. And so
for my question is, why do the Pirates care to keep him when they're not going to build a team around him?
It's not that there's no reason to move him now. You can just enjoy his services for a few years and then move him. I mean, it's not to say that they're not going to ever move him. It's just they're not inclined to do it right now.
I get that. It just seems inevitable. And the Pirates love to be mediocre.
Maybe they sell the team and an owner takes over in the next 3 years. That is, you know.
You think Nutting is going to give it away?
Probably not.
He's not. He's definitely not.
Probably not. He doesn't seem like, it seems like he's feeling quite comfortable where it's at.
Paul Skeens, the human being, is starting to grow on me a little bit because
what was he before the human being element? I'm kind of missing it. I thought he was.
I was just pitting him against Jackson Merrill, so I had to hate him.
Gotcha.
But now I think it's funny when they put up his last year celebration of winning Rookie of the Year and then put up this year's celebration of winning the Cy Young.
Identical.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Like he does not
I
really
told you,
get
he
too
only
high.
Has two like two emotions. So
he's
only like two different facial looks you get.
Sure.
In other baseball news, Emmanuel Clase, one of the pitchers alleged to have been involved in some side prop bets, pleaded not guilty to all charges today. The 27-year-old reliever was released on $600,000 bond following his appearance. Clase also surrendered his passport and was ordered to limit his travel to New York and Ohio, refrain from gambling. You don't think? And submit to a GPS monitoring. So,
ooh, wow.
He can't even go back to the Dominican. And not to say that he was going to be there anyway, but apparently he flew back in to JFK. To the Alphabet Boys were right there, hooked him up.
That's a nerve-wracking flight.
I bet.
Like, as soon as I land, I'm getting arrested.
He was ready for it. He said he was dressed in a blazer and some nice jeans, so he was he was at least going to look right as he had to
get in his jumpsuit that he has. I get why they do not guilty, because obviously they want to try to plea down to something.
Or they think that they're not guilty.
You're right.
I know it's a crazy, it's a crazy concept.
If we can't believe the FBI in this one, then I definitely cannot believe the FBI in the Otani thing. I can. If the FBI is not telling us the truth here and releasing things about him being on his phone, sending text messages,
that is their evidence that they have.
I know.
And so what happens is you take this evidence and you go to
I'm
court,
aware.
And there's 12 jurors.
I know.
Right, and then you present it, and then they decide if they believe you. Or you know how this? I don't know if you've seen how this whole court system works.
Yeah, I have seen that. But if they have him so guilty. What's the point of doing the not guilty
that
thing?
Is
it's the plea deal.
That is the beauty of this country.
It's
that
the plea deal.
You then there have to prove all of that evidence, regardless of how it looks.
I get what you're saying. Well, we know what the result
is. But it feels like you want to do it a different way.
$600,000 bond is nothing to sneeze at.
Listen, it's not. It's a great point. You know, usually that bond is it's not a real indicator, but it's... Let you know how serious the charges are you have against you.
Or I guess they think you're a flight risk or something like that, but I don't know.
Yeah. This is it's only going to get more and more interesting as it goes. Luis L. Ortiz, the other alleged
co-conspirator.
Co-conspirator pled not guilty yesterday in court. So It is a larger discussion that, you know, I think we'll probably have in the next coming weeks. It seems like Evan Drellich wrote an article, and we'll probably have to get into it next week because I won't be here tomorrow. But he wrote an article about execs recognizing that there's a problem, but no one seems to really have a solution for that problem. And it goes back to what we've been kind of alluding to, there's only one solution, but there is no way. That solution is ever going to be green light.
I said that, yeah, which we're talking about get rid of gambling as a part of your sport, but it's not going to happen.
You had one problem before.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah.
Now you are literally having these things pop up way more often.
I said this on the Scraby Show last night because I think they just need to get rid of the pitch level wagers is what they're calling. No one needs to bet on every pitch. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm going to control and limit your betting.
Yeah, too much can be manipulated when it's just...
Too much.
When it's an everyday sport, a guy is going to throw somewhere in the realm of, on a good day, 100-plus pitches.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to... I mean, just think, we didn't catch this to begin with. And then obviously, because we can go back and look now, people are looking and they're highlighting
when
things.
He's throwing it 9 feet to the left.
It's not funny, but it is when you start to like damn, it was that easy and we just all kind of just zoom by it.
Yeah. And Class A is seemingly, from what I've read, the guy who recruited Ortiz.
The new development today is that I saw that I hadn't seen before was that he actually didn't start asking for payouts until this year. He was just doing it for his buddies who made something that was
not a lot of money.
$460,000 they made.
Yeah.
Off of him being able to, you know, manipulate his pitch on those selected ones, and he wasn't asking for money until this year.
I will never understand why he did this because he threw away his career for $460,000.
On a level of friendship, I assume he knew these dudes and he was doing them a favor at least before he started asking for money. Once you started asking for money, then it gets real sleazy at that point. It's one thing to be like, you know what? Fine, I'll throw these couple balls in the dirt, get you guys some loot. everything will be all good. And then, well, you know what? Now that I'm doing it, why don't you kick me down about $5,000 every time I do it?
Yeah, and that's when they are like, we're being investigated by the FBI and we just gave your name. I don't understand
it makes
any
no
of
sense.
This. Like
makes
Ortiz, no sense. I don't really know much about him, but I know that Class A is a high-leverage closer.
What I do know about Luis L. Ortiz is he was in the big leagues.
Yes.
And he was making at least 600.
Yeah. He made 5,000 or something around there.
I want it not to be true so bad.
I would take $5,000, but not if I was already making 600.
The math ain't mathin'.
No,
brother.
The math doesn't math.
You can't do that.
It doesn't.
Let's get to break. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
Chrisello.
Oh, Chris is going to join us. That's
from
right.
Hopefully.
So actually, more Gwynn and Chris on the other side. Like I said.
The biggest guests in San...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So yesterday was National Letter Signing Day, National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Today, they had a nice event down at Snapdragon. All the young kids got a chance to kind of celebrate that. KUSI was down there. Shout out to Allie and Rudy down there. They do a great job kind of boosting up the high school scene. And I know my daughter had a great time. Thank you to Ben and Woodsy and Braden. They had some kind things to say about it. I didn't get to hear Ben and Woodsy, but I heard about it. So thank you to those guys. She's very appreciative of it.
It's a big deal.
It is. We'll talk to Chrisello here shortly. Hopefully he can get connected. That was already... 2025.
He did give us a thumbs up on you in 5 minutes.
He did. He gives us the A-OK. We've gotten that before, too, and it hasn't been A-OK.
Yeah. Pulling back the curtain. That was the curtain.
Okay.
Chris likes to be on the show as much as possible.
Yes.
He also makes us run around in circles when he wants to be on the show.
He doesn't make us do anything.
He makes me.
He makes you run around.
I mean, we had a whole text message thing this morning, like, hey, what do you want to do? Because he wanted to come on to talk about the news. And he said, all right, I'll talk to you guys at 1:30. And then 1:30 comes around. He's nowhere to be found. So, now he's going to come on in 5 minutes.
So we'll get a chance to hear from Ello, get his thoughts on the news today. We're going to hear lots of different opinions on this. Heidi Whiteley was on Foul Territory. She had some things to say about her thoughts on the possible ownership change. Or do you want to go to it now?
Yeah, why not?
Let's go to it now.
San Diego, you know, when they lost the Chargers, the Padres are the show in town. That's the only professional sports team in town. And that place is packed. And then they built the gas lamp around it. And it's got that beautiful stadium. They've got a dynamic roster. Tatis and Jackson Merrill and Manny Machado. And I mean, the rivalry with the Dodgers has become insane. One of the best in the sport right now. I mean, that is, it's rare to see a franchise decide that they're going to even explore selling a team when the franchise is doing so well. But I think you're right, AJ, in that that's the best way to honor Peter Seidler is if you don't have the heart in it, if you're not going to put the resources in it that Peter did, or if whatever is going on behind the scenes with the family and with Peter's widow and the brothers, if whatever's going on is just too much and it's going to hurt the franchise, then yeah, explore selling it and let someone else take that, the franchise that has become one of the better franchises in the sport with a roster loaded with talent, and take them into the future. I applaud them, like you guys, for doing this.
Heidi,
that's pretty big.
Heidi, what's over your right shoulder? I think it's your right shoulder.
World Series trophy?
What's the ultimate goal in baseball?
That.
Yes. So if you're not going to try and do that, and we just had Jason on, right, about the Orioles, and you know what the new owner hasn't done? He hasn't proven that he wants to win that badly. He's kind of – they're doing the same thing as the Angelos family did. Like, oh, well, we're trying, but we're really not trying. So if Peter – one thing about Peter Seidler is he wanted it. He wanted it in his family. They don't want it. Sell it. Sell it. Get your $2 billion and get out. Because $2 billion spends nicely on the open market. I'm just saying, like, I could do a lot with $2 billion. So.
I could do a lot with $2 billion, too. And that point is right. If your heart is not in the team, then sell it.
Or if the kind of battle, you know, between Shill and the Seidlers, or, you know, if that's what it is, and it's best for the organization, again, that's probably the ways you go. Is Mr. Ello with us?
He sure is.
Mr. Ello, how are you, sir?
You guys, I can't tell you how unbelievable of a day we're having here. And I would say if rock formations are in heaven, then we are spending the day in heaven.
Rock formations?
Yeah, we are. I don't know where we are. We are in the middle of nowhere. My phone's been going in and out all day, but I think we got a little service right now. This is called Arches National Park, and it's quite famous, I guess, for people who like national parks. I would highly recommend. We've had a really fun day, but just haven't been connected too well, unfortunately.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. Are you by yourself?
Lori is right here with me,
okay,
my assistant.
Let me ask you a question.
Has
your godson figured out the numbers game yet? You've been sending.
Okay, he still hasn't figured out the numbers game, and he's getting married tomorrow. So today I still have to send him a picture of an athlete wearing number one.
Wow.
And I'm worried that he may get it, like, right now,
right
at the
now?
Very end.
Wow.
I don't know, because like two and one are so obvious that it's 2 days to your wedding and one day.
I mean, but so was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, too.
That's true. That's true. And he never got it then. He will find out tonight, because the plan is to kind of have a toast during the rehearsal dinner and let him in on the whole thing. So.
That's awesome. I'm glad we get to the where you get to toast and reveal it. All right, we got some bigger fish to fry here. News came down today that from John Seidler and an email that went out to season ticket holders that they are going to explore their options, and that also means the possibility of a sale. Chris, I made the point that from the moment the Shill Seidler thing kind of popped off, we all kind of thought that this is where it was going to head, and here we are, November 13th. That's the announcement today.
Yeah, I think it's kind of rich of you guys to call me on my vacation and ask if I'm interested. it's going to be too rich for me, guys.
Oh, you're out.
I'm going to have to be out. But
all right, well, that's all the time we have for you today.
Thanks for calling.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it's definitely tough to hear this. Not tough in a bad way, but like you said, Tony, I think to me it all kind of changed the day that Peter Seidler, died, honestly. Yeah. And, this was something that nobody foresaw except, people, close to him and in that family. And I just think when that happened, something in the Padre organization, it kind of died. And, I think the Seidlers did everything they could last year without Peter, and with everything going on with the, law cases, whatever, we're going behind the scenes with Shill and everything. I think they did the best they could, and they realized that they probably can't do justice the way they would like to. And it's probably best for them to move on to something else. And it's always scary because we don't know who we're going to get. The only good news I can tell you is that Dick Montfort is taken. So hopefully we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, Dick Montfort's not going to be the owner of the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, that's the other thing we've kind of talked a little bit about is the understanding of why people are a little worried in terms of who will own the team beyond the Seidlers, right? Because it hasn't necessarily been the greatest run outside of Ray Kroc and the Moores family. There's been a lot in between that hasn't gone that well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was thinking of that today, exactly, Tony. And I honestly was trying to think of the Hollywood moguls who came in, and I think it was Jeff Morad was kind of the head of that. It just didn't go in the right direction. And, you know, I don't think any owner ever takes over something like this with the idea of not doing well.
Right.
But I think a lot of ownership people and groups come in and just don't know what it's all about. And, you know, we got very lucky with Peter Seidler, and we did. And, you know, I think that was what kickstarted and jump-started the whole turnaround of this organization. I know you think so too, Tony. I mean, it's been six straight, solid, really good seasons, and that had never happened before. So the name Seidler has to be attached to that. And yeah, you're definitely going to have some concern moving forward because you just don't know who it's going to be. You know that they would do everything they can to try to find the right person, but that's never 100% easy to do.
No, it's not always easy to find the perfect match for, you know, who's going to take over the helm. It's going to be the expectations. Whoever takes it has been raised quite a bit. If indeed they end up going through with this sale, and I made the point, Chris, before you came on that, at least to my knowledge, I don't remember this ownership ever misleading us in a way in terms of what they were going to do with the roster. So when John says that, you know, it's going to be business as usual, they will continue to try to put together a World Series championship, I'm inclined to believe that.
And that's what they did this past season, right? I mean, he said that they were going to stay, you know, very competitive. And I know we didn't get to the World Series. Believe me, I get it. But the Padres were certainly very much competitive, and they were up again in the top, you know, third of payroll in baseball. They brought in at the trade deadline as many, if not more, players than any other team in order to try and push this thing forward and get it done. And, you know, I mean, honestly, we don't know what would have happened if Joe Musgrove doesn't miss the season and if Michael King doesn't miss most of it and if – I think the one that hurt so much at the end that we talked about, Tony, Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, big
right
time.
Before the playoffs, he had been such a key. So we don't know. We're not going to cry over spilt milk. It's happened, and you know, I just think we got to thank the Seidlers for what they've done, and you know, as a fan base, shepherd them through this, and hopefully, you know, we'll all come out, you know, on the other side, you know, looking good, but. There is certainly an unknown that goes along with this, and that makes everybody nervous.
There's also a notion, Chris, from some people that, and Tony and I don't buy into this at all, but the new owner is going to move the team. What say you?
I can't imagine why they would ever want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's somebody that just absolutely has no... First of all, no understanding and can't read a situation very well. Like somebody who was just a tyrant who would come in, right, and say, you know, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm putting a team there. But I think to protect the Padre fans from thinking that, Major League Baseball, wouldn't they have to be willing to let a franchise move, Tony? You can't just buy a team and pick up and move without some sort of support. And I can't imagine the sport would ever be behind something like that. And I'm almost positive the Seidlers would never, you know, they would rather own the team under difficult circumstances than hand it over to somebody who they even thought for a second might move this team. So you know, anything's possible always, but I think that's a long, long shot. And I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty spot on. A couple of things I want to get your opinion on. Emmanuel Clase ends up pleading not guilty. I don't know if you saw kind of the new report that kind of came out, Chris, about him actually not asking to be paid or to have payouts of this alleged scheme until this year. Prior to this, he's been going since 2023. He basically was just doing it out of the kindness of his heart, it sounded like. I don't know if you saw that little piece.
So we should just let him go because he's a kind guy, huh?
Well, no, because eventually he did start to ask to be have some payouts, allegedly.
Be compensated for, well, first of all, he wasn't very good at it. Didn't he throw a pitch that Andy Páez swung at?
Well, I don't know if that's an indictment of him or Andy Páez.
I think it's amazing that swing keeps being shown because conspirator I or whatever it is swung at a pitch he shouldn't have.
What was it? I think it was Dom brings up a great point. He said that if his friends were, you know, if those were really his friends and he was asking him, they were asking him to do it, he needed to kind of, those time would leave those friends behind. But
yeah,
he stayed loyal to the soil, and it's going to cost him.
Yeah.
It might cost
him
2 years.
But, you know, I think that, you know, we did ask, we did wonder at the very beginning when they showed at the very beginning of this whole, you know, thing, and it came out, they showed Emmanuel Clase throwing a pitch like 9 feet outside and it went to the backstop. And we all thought, what's he doing that for? It's making it so obvious. But he was worried about another Andy Páez situation. So he had to make sure.
There's also...
You know, these guys have to be... As nice as Emmanuel's trying to come off, these guys both have to go up the river for the good of the sport. That just has to happen.
There's also video out there of Clase striking out a guy and then turning around and saying the F-bomb like he was angry at himself for striking out a guy.
You don't know if he was angry with himself or angry at the hitter for swinging at a ball.
Either way, it was a strange reaction to a strikeout.
And I appreciate Scott Boros saying that they should just eliminate these prop bets completely.
Yeah, saw that.
First of all, Scott, we're behind you 100%. Second of all, Scott, you're probably going to have to fork over some of the billions of dollars you have to make up for the money baseball thinks they're going to lose if they do allow them to give up the prop.
Let me tell you something, Chris. I don't know if you saw his quotes yesterday, but he was in a real poetic feel yesterday. He had a 15-word, like all P's put together for like it was a good paragraph.
I have it. All right. Chris, this is from Scott Boros yesterday on Pete Alonso. There's no doubt Pete's pursuers are primed to pay the power piper. Pete picked a perfect period to play preeminently at a primary position. A playoff-parched plethora will pounce to participate in the polar plunge.
I don't know why I feel like that's hilarious, but the fact that I have a hard time believing he wrote that beforehand. I think he put that together. That was a freestyle.
Sounds like he went to the chat. GPT under the category of Pete.
He might have. That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah, before we get Pete Alonso, guys, don't forget to look at his Petco statistics.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice job.
That's right.
Petco Park Pete Chris Alonso.
Chris is not filling Pete Alonso's numbers at Petco.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little preview of your speech tomorrow?
Well. No, because Lori's here, and I refuse to tell her any of it. The only thing I can say is that the very last thing I will say is that he will be able to kiss his bride. That's the final part of it. But I'm keeping it all.
How long did it take you to finish this?
I mean, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but they chose the right person to do this because I put 4 or 5 hours into this presentation tomorrow.
As meticulous as you are, I can't believe that you got through it without, like, driving yourself nuts.
Now, it's a bit of a labor of love. I mean, he's my own godson, and it was a great honor to have him ask me. And I really want to make it good, and I'm hoping it will be tomorrow, so... I'll let you guys know when I get home, but thanks for holding up for me for a few days while we get this done.
You know, Chris, I have your beginning of your speech. It goes something like this, I'm sure. 47 years ago.
Damn it.
Thank you, Chris.
Gravy came up with it.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris, we'll let you go, man. We appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us, man. We'll catch up.
All right, thanks, guys.
Are you coming
we'll
on?
Soon.
Are you coming on to help Scraby tomorrow?
No.
Oh, Scraby.
He's got a wedding to go
to. Well, tomorrow's the actual wedding. So unless Lori wants to mic me up and you guys want to carry the ceremony, I think won't join you.
You're on your own on that one, buddy. We'll see.
Exactly.
We'll see you Monday.
All right. Bye bye.
All right, thank you, Chris. He was in a very good mood.
He is in a very good mood. I can't believe his godson is going to get to dinner tonight and not have picked up on the fact that
I've been thinking a lot about this.
You don't think he should have picked up on it?
No. It's
what?
So weird that Chris sends
but
him a new
that's
picture.
That's exactly why. If you were sending me pictures of number, eventually I'd be like, man, he's just going in order. And then at some point you feel like that would dawn on you.
Yeah.
Like, why is he sending me this every day? He's never done this before.
Here's weird Godfather Chris just sending me random pictures of old sports stars.
Oh, wow. All right. Hour number one, done. Hour number two on the way. Daily Gambit coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.